Blur and Out of Time.
They're joking, there's 2 hours to go. On XFM 104.9, I'm Ricky Gervais, with me Steve Merchant and Carl Pilkington. A new leaf, bit of a blow at the Sonys. Not like that. I mean, you know, we were taken aback.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah. We've got guests, Jonathan Ross won, and he has guests, so we're going to have guests in. One of which is sort of a tie-in. He's going to explain himself. It's Dr. Fox, Dr. Neil Fox, popped in for a chat. It's a pre-record, we've got that. Although live in the second hour, we're going to have a chat to the girls from Tattoo, who are upstairs at the moment in Capital, and they're going to pop down and have a little chat with us. So we're really trying to, you know, make this more of an interactive show. Mm-hmm. We don't know yet whether we're going to give up or not. It depends how this show goes. Yeah, look forward to that. But we've got some great... We went down to the big library, so we don't have to rely on Four Non-Blondes and the, you know, the two jam tracks that are up here. We went down to the big library, and we've got some great tracks, Steve, haven't we?
That's
we've got some
true.
Classics. Should we play one now?
Well, before that, I just remember that some of the criticism we received, I think, was that we're perhaps not taking into consideration the listeners. A lot of shows, a lot of radio shows, they cater very much to the community, to the area which they're broadcasting. Mm, they interact with the listenership.
Where's the fun in that? Do
I
mean,
agree.
Well, for me, really.
I'd just like to justify why we don't tend to correspond or interact with the listeners. Here's a typical email from Vicky, age 25. She asks, do you ski, Rick? That's her question.
No,
do you ski, yes or no?
No, I don't.
No, you don't. Right, there you are. Thanks, Mick. Brilliant. Keep those coming in.
See, he's turned them against us, Carl. What do you think, Carl? What do you think of Steve's attitude there?
It's all right.
More insight like that coming later.
Black Grape, Kelly's Heroes, and XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais, with me Steve Merchant and Carl Pilkington, okay? Proper radio. As you know, we're a bit gutted that we won nothing at the Sony Awards. We found out that, on the panel was Dr. Fox, probably one of the greatest DJs in the world.
One of the great living broadcasters.
I certainly think that he's up there.
Yeah.
With Tarrant, John O'Coleman. And so...
And Chris Moyles.
Great Chris Moyles. We asked him to... He's also on the Pop Idol panel, so he can make and break people. So
yeah.
We asked him, basically, to explain himself, why did we win nothing? Why were we so bad? This is what he had to say.
The award, guys, was called the Entertainment Award, right? Now, in itself, I think that should probably tell you something about what should be on the tape. There should be some entertainment. And it just wasn't very entertaining, actually. I don't mean that sounds quite horrible sitting here in front of you now, but it just wasn't very entertaining.
But fundamentally, what elements did you not find entertaining?
The fact that it didn't seem to entertain me at all was part of it. I mean, it's a bit of a, like, how long's a piece of string, isn't it? What is entertaining?
Well, we have talked about string on the show before, though.
Then there were loads of people I'd never heard of in my life, and some of those were perhaps a bit more entertaining than you. The people that got silver, I think they were called Joe and Twiggy. They worked for a station in the Midlands, I think Trent FM. They were actually pretty funny.
Funnier than ours stuff.
Yeah, they were actually. Yeah, they were funny, and they seemed to sort of understand their local. They seemed to understand their market a bit more. Mm. And then I got onto yours. I think, oh, great, Ricky Gervais. Yeah, he's really funny in that program, isn't he? I must watch that. I'm going to absolutely die laughing here. And oh God, it was painful.
How would you have improved it, just listening?
Bit of humour, be quite right. Good. Bit of humour, essential, I would think, to an entertainment show. A bit of prep, you know, a bit. Right. So get in there and actually think about what it's going to do, perhaps.
Well, right, okay.
Well, thank you, Dr. Fox, for your honesty. We've got to the bottom. While you're here, can I just show you this? That lump. Do you still do prescriptions?
Well, Dr. Fox there.
He was, you know...
He was honest, he was blunt.
He was blunt, you know, that's...
I'd like a second opinion, I only do, because he's not actually a doctor. In fact, he used to be called Dr. Fox, and now he just calls himself Neil Fox. I think he's been struck off.
No, he's Neil Fox, MD.
Right.
He's just...
I wondered if there was some malpractice that something happened.
Someone
was under, and he sort of, you know, went a little bit crazy.
Leave it there! Yeah. Because Froggy will not take that lightly.
Who?
Froggy.
What do you mean, Froggy?
He's Dr. Frog now, he's changed it. He's not Fox,
right,
he hated Fox.
But are we going to heed his criticism? Because it was about, there was no preparation,
yeah.
We weren't funny, fair enough.
Yeah.
There was just really no content.
We didn't care about
our... We didn't care about the show.
The demographic we were meant to be aiming at.
Just sounds like a lot of work, all that.
Well, I think what we can do is we can take it all on board and immediately forget it and carry on, because it's easier. What about that?
Brilliant.
I'll tell you what we could do, though. Play some bloody great tunes.
Thanks very much.
Athlete, you got the style on XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais, with me Steve Merchant and Carl Pilkington, innit? Alright?
Brilliant.
Well, you know, the funny thing was, the day of the Sonys, the Radar figures came out, that's the body that tells exactly how many listeners you've got, etc. And, XFM went down a little bit, across the board, except one show, Steve, that went up 34%.
Keep talking.
Well, what show do you think that was?
I'm trying to think. Would it be Zoe Ball? No.
No.
Would it be Christian Connell Breakfast Show?
No. It was this little mother of a show.
Really? Up 34%?
Yeah. Everything else went down. We went up 34%.
Yeah.
So maybe Dr. Fox should be listening to those figures.
Indeed.
Yeah. Will we get a pay rise? Will we get a 34% pay rise, Carl?
Ooh. Up to £80 a month.
No, because for the last, like, 2 years, there's been nothing there, and you've still been getting the same money, haven't you? That's the way it works.
There's been what, then?
It's, you're not paid per listener, are you? It's just... You know what I mean?
It seems like it.
I think they've each given us 5 pence.
Exactly.
I went along to, I came in for the presenters' meetings, this stuff. I've never been
done
before. A presenters' meeting, I didn't know they existed. And I just came in to annoy Carl, it was about 5 to 6, so I was gonna get him as he knocked off, we're gonna have a
Sorry, and the presenters' meeting is what, that's where they dish out which amusing news stories they're gonna read out, is it?
Yeah, or no, what order they're gonna play, Athlete, Coldplay,
right.
The Vines. and, I went upstairs, all the people were there, and, quite interesting, wasn't it? Carl.
Yeah.
You know why the figures went down a little bit?
Go on.
The war.
Is that what they said?
The war, yeah. At one point, I said to Carl, just how many listeners died in this war? Because I thought he was saying that they were at the front.
Yeah.
Or XFM listeners went, well, I'm going.
Yeah.
I'm going to Iraq.
Well, the reason our listeners
Tell Zoe to tape it for me.
The reason our listenership went up is that just tells you who's listening to us. Cowards, yeah. Yellow bellies, children, women.
People with fallen arches.
Yeah. Terrorists.
Oh dear. Yeah, I didn't, it was quite a good meeting. Now I told some...
So what exactly, is there anything I missed out on? Is
no, they just, you know, it went down a little bit, except our show, which went up 34%.
Up 34%, yeah. But no awards for that.
Remember that. And then you went out afterwards, didn't you?
Yeah, we went to a bar to have a couple of drinks and that.
Yeah.
And then, a few of them went onto Stringfellas.
No, they didn't.
Well, some of them did. Zoe
Who?
Did. Zoe and, a few of the office people and that.
Stringfellas?
Yeah.
To what? To watch lap dancing? To beat, what?
Yeah, that's what goes on there, isn't it? I know, it's mad, isn't it?
I've never been to Stringfellas, I don't know what happened.
Why would they...
I don't know. I mean, I was talking to people about it the day after, and they said, oh, you missed out. I said, well, did I? They said, well, how does it work? They said, well, you know, you pay...
Never quite understood lap dancing. Never quite understood it. Well, it's basically someone dancing naked rubbing their arse in your face.
Yeah.
That's basically the gist of it, is it?
But you can't... The rules is you can't talk.
Do they do a home service?
I just think it's nearly, I've got to be careful what I say here, but it's sort of, you know, I'm dissing Stringfellas or anything, but is that not sort of like one step down from prostitution?
That's such an antiquated, what, you from
I mean?
The 19th century?
No, but I mean, what, it's like, it's, well, I don't quite understand it. I don't get it.
Because the thing is, I said, how does it work? They said, you pay £20, you get some clean money, sort of, like, little vouchers that you stick in the knickers or whatever.
Oh, God.
Clean money?
Yeah.
Disinfected money, okay.
Well, just like vouchers.
Can you put loose change in there? Because I got a lot of that.
But.
I owe you.
Yeah.
Yeah, go on.
£20 it is.
Right.
And, I just don't get it, because, I mean, I'm not tight with money or anything, but...
No.
You pay your £20, they dance in front of you, but you're not allowed to touch, which to me is like... going to a restaurant, ordering a nice big warm dinner, and they put it in front of you, and it's like, well, you can't eat it. And you're saying, but it's going cold.
I love the idea of some bloke sitting in Stringfellow's, businessman, right, it's paid £20, there's an arse waving in his face, and he's going, can I not just, they go, don't touch, he goes, it's going cold! Look at it, it's going cold! Oh, that is brilliant. It's going cold. That is, I mean, see, Carl in the week was saying that he doesn't like sayings and phrases and metaphor and analogy, and I was going, you know, and he thinks it's sort of like, you know, one step away from poetry. But he comes out with the most evocative phrases. Mm. That is a straightforward analogy. Lap dancing is like being given a meal that you can't eat. See, that's great. Mm. That's how you saw it, and that's so much better than saying it's mad you can't touch, or it's a waste, or... Do you see what I mean? We were trying to inflame his enthusiasm in the week, and I said about different phrases, and he goes, well, why not just say the actual words? I was going, well, it's more poetic. And I told him the Isaac Newton one, if I have seen further than any other man, it's because I've stood on the shoulders of the giants. And I said, well, that's because, you know, he's saying, you know, I'm getting lauded for being this great scientist and all these discoveries and being a genius, but I'm saying, you know, if it wasn't for those scholars before me that had come up with what they come up with, you know, I wouldn't have got this far. Carl went, what did you say?
I just said, well, I prefer him to give me a name check. Do you know what I mean, though? If he stood there and he's saying how good everything is, don't just class me, don't sort of put me in a load of other people, give me a mention.
If you were one of the other scholars?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there were probably people that died sort of years before him. I think he's saying more that he's thanking the body of work these scientists and these great men had handed down, you know, through either books, material, teachings.
He's not giving a big shout-out to the collective science posse.
Yeah, yeah. You know, thank you. Actually, I copied Nigel's. He's not saying that. I was like, earwigging. I heard what Nigel said about it, about the third law. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I look into sayings and stuff a lot more and see if they work. Well, one that happened a couple of weeks ago, right? You were talking about the you can't have your cake and eat it.
Yeah.
What you said?
Well, I never understood that because I thought, well, what's the point of having your cake and not eating it? Rather like your lap dancing analogy, but it actually means you can't have eaten your cake and still have it there.
Yes,
obviously.
Exactly.
Well, the time that I saw that saying work, right? I was in Asda. With Suzanne.
Yeah.
And you know those big binders you get with nice cakes in them?
Yeah.
For birthdays and that, you can get one with, like, David Beckham on the front of it.
Yeah.
You can have one with, you know, Thomas the Tank Engine, if you want.
Ricky Gervais.
Yeah. You can have one of them. And I saw one of those comedy ones where it is, like, a big pair of breasts.
Yeah.
And that is when, you know, you can have your cake and eat tit.
Play records.
No, but...
Play record, I want to talk to you about it. About puns. Placebo! This picture, with the androgynous vocal talents at the helm there of Brian Maloko on XFM 104.9.
Informed broadcasting.
Excellent.
Did you see, I don't know if Carl saw it, I know you watched it, Rick, it was extraordinary, it was a Sky One TV show the other night. It was something like, reality TV.
Oh, yeah,
I can't remember what it was called. Yeah.
Excellent.
And it was about basically what, the fortunes of various...
I cannot get enough of it.
The fortunes of various reality TV stars, since they've come out of the show. Christine Hamilton coming out of the jungle. And obviously, once again, always a pleasure to find out what Fats Waller is up to, Rick Waller. I mean,
oh, he's in the band now.
He's got his own band. He was playing in some club in Rochester. There was about...
It's sort of gospel,
people in the
sort of gospel rock, that sort of soul gospel rock thing, like somebody see in the Commitments or something. And when
leather.
It cut to the audience, it was like it was in Butlins. It was just a big dance floor, and there was just people like, watching indifferently. And he went, the people that were here loved it. I mean, it's a bit
and
sad.
And I have to say, the size of the man, his leather jacket, Carl, was extraordinary. I don't know how many animals had to die to make it. It was like. You know, it was
it looked like, if he'd have fallen off, it would have been like the Hindenburg.
Yeah.
Because...
It was like a Zeppelin.
Oh,
it
the
was,
humanity!
It was people, I still think, when I see him wearing a coat like that, it looks like he is stood on the shoulders of two other people. It's
yeah.
just a joke. It's like a circus act or something.
Yeah.
Because his head doesn't make sense.
Looks like it's one of those things that you steam yourself in. You put your head out like that. Yeah. Is that a machine you're in? No, it's a coat.
Or one of those old-fashioned iron lungs.
Oh dear! There were some magic moments.
But there was a great, because once again, I mean, I missed a lot of the first series of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. But it showed once again the moment with Darren Day. Darren Day, lovely guy, but that moment where he went off and sat on a rock and came back and he'd written a song.
I know.
Which he just and I can't. It was also things like I'm in a hotel room in another town.
I know. Don't.
And it was just. It was like something you'd write when you were 14. It was unbelievable. They showed it again. It's just stunning.
I love. Songs you write when you're 14. It's like your first sort of like song that you could, you know, three chords. And it's always stuff like, there's a man, he's a lonely man. Take a look at him, he looks a bit like me.
Yeah.
It is me. It's that sort of thing, like, when you want to play it to someone and you want them to go, my God, you're deep.
Yeah.
My God, you're brilliant, aren't you? And that's about you, is it? No, yeah, it is, yeah.
I have to say, this is such a terrible confession. When I was doing a school play once, God. When I was about that age, 15, right, there was a girl who was in the cast with me, right, and she sort of, you know, she was giving me the eye. I was thinking, yeah, well, I kind of thought she was, right? And then
it was class.
But there was another guy. There was another guy there as well. I was sort of competing for her affection.
Oh, no.
And he was quite a witty guy.
His name was Scott Hansen. He had long blonde hair.
Exactly, yeah. And I thought, well, the way to impress her, because I was 15 or whatever, I thought I was pretty smart. I sat in one of the adjoining dressing rooms, reading a copy of the philosophical book, Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, which I didn't understand, but which I sat there reading it in the hope that she would walk in and think, my God, you're reading Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance.
You don't go with the crowd. You don't want to come next door where we're talking about nonsense and people are flirting.
We're talking about the bangles
and
curly whirlies.
You're in here saying, look, just if you want to come and talk to me, you're welcome, but I'm a
thinker.
I bet you thought you were Kwai Chang Kane, didn't you?
I thought it was like she'd think, Jesus Christ, I've never met anyone like him.
That is genius.
And she I remember the one time she accidentally walked in, she went, oh sorry, wrong room, and left again. And that was it.
Sorry, at 15, so this is about the time you took to wearing a bow tie to impress people.
I'm slightly younger wearing a bow tie.
I love that.
No, I used to watch a lot of Harold Lloyd films. And he always seemed to do very well.
I love the idea of a 15, you going, well, it's time I went to wooing. Right, right, on with the bow tie, where's the zen?
Where's the pipe and my bow tie?
It's a time I got me a bow.
Yeah.
I love that. But songs are great as well. The other thing you do, sort of when you're about 15, 16, is start writing songs about, like, the world's trying to take a piece of me. Hey, you think I'm going down? I'm coming back. I'm against the ropes. Yeah. They try to drag me down. It's like you want to be cool Han Luke.
Yeah.
They put me in this emotional prison.
The man's on my back.
Who? Yeah. Who they? They try and take a piece of me. Who? Yeah. Who do? Well,
you're
14. Parents and that, don't they?
You're really comprehensive.
The teachers. Yeah. I absolutely love it. I still remember a poem. I won't say his name. We're about 14, 15. And we had to write a poem, and obviously everyone was pretty rubbish, but we mercilessly took the piss out of this bloke, because I still remember the poem, and how he did it is he went through a dictionary and found things with it, and this is a poem, right, okay, remember? I've remembered this for 25 years, right? The reason why I had to die, did I bleed the blood of greed, what was my destiny? And when we hear this, we were laughing. I mean, for a year, we would go, what was my destiny? It was just great.
I hear it again, I enjoyed it.
The reason why I had to die. Did I bleed the blood of greed? What was my destiny? Oh,
that's almost as catchy as Monkey News.
Oh, God! Oh, I've got some Monkey News for you. Let's play a record and come back, and I've got some great Monkey News for you, pal.
That's from the REM album that people tend to forget about now because it was so kind of poppy and such a massive hit out of time, but there are some good tunes on it. And there's one of them, Near Wild Heaven.
Excellent, on XFM 104.9. Carl.
Go on.
Watching a programme yesterday, and it was about these Japanese snow monkeys. And it was all about how animals learn things that aren't instinctive, particularly sort of primates, because they see other people doing it, and they start a culture. And they can pinpoint when these monkeys, when one monkey first went down and got in the hot water springs and stayed there because it was hot, and the others copied them, and now it's part of almost a culture, you know, that won't be handed on because it's not instinctive, but it has to be learnt each time. And, you know, and they groom as normal, like other monkeys, right, but they're really intelligent. And obviously, the reason they groom other people, other monkeys, is because they eat the mites. But also, the monkeys have learnt they like being groomed, okay? So they showed this one monkey, it went to a deer, okay, and it was grooming this deer to get its mite off it, right? But then it didn't eat it, it held it in its hand, it went over to a monkey, put the mite on itself to show the monkey it had a mite, and got a free grooming.
That's extraordinary.
That's extraordinary.
That is extraordinary.
Because it gave up the food, knowing that if you put one there, this monkey would look for mites on it,
yeah,
and it would get a free grooming, and it was like having a little massage. What do you think of that?
It's not bad. I've got some better stuff coming up later.
On monkey news.
Yeah.
On the official
monkey
news.
Yeah, do you see what mine, though? Mine's true.
I mean, that's an interesting and extraordinary...
It actually happened. It's social behaviour amongst primates. I saw it. It was... You know.
Did it rob a bank, Rick, at any time?
It didn't rob a bank, and it didn't open a hairdresser's.
So that's what you're letting me... That's where you're letting yourself
down. It's not quite good enough, is it, my monkey news?
No, I've got some...
See the difference, where I named the species, explained it slightly, told you an interesting fact, as opposed to, there's this monkey, right? And,
look at him looking at you.
Yeah.
He's not interested in it. Can I tell you now? Can I try and describe for people the face that Carl has? I'll tell you what it's like. It's like if you draw, some eyes, a nose and a mouth on a balloon and then inflate it to about half full. That's what Carl's face looks like. That's what his head looks like. It looks like a face you've drawn on a balloon. Very small, the rest of the head huge.
It's just that today I'm a bit tired, right? That's one thing.
Why a bit tired?
I just haven't been sleeping, right?
Why not?
I don't know. I've got a lot going on in the head.
Oh, if this would be like The Simpsons, if we could actually look in there, there would be two monkeys grooming now.
Yeah. Plus, you've been talking about, like, stuff that I can't relate to and that, so I'm...
What, writing poetry?
Like what?
Reading books.
Yeah, what? Doing poetry and stuff. I never did any of that.
What did you do?
Well, at school they didn't bother. They tried to get us to write more, right?
Right.
By,
giving you a pen?
No, they used to give us these school diaries.
Yeah.
Little red book. And it was a way that they kept an eye on what you were doing out of school hours.
Right.
Right, so some kids would write down, you know...
Stole a bike.
Yeah,
burnt a house down.
Yeah.
But when I was at school, around that sort of 12 age, I didn't get up to much. You have no money, there's nothing you can do. So every night it was the same thing. I'd get home and I'd have to go to the shop, right? And get some potatoes and some bread every night, right? And I kept taking this into school.
Sorry, what was it, Dublin in the 17th century?
Yeah.
What do you mean every day you went to the shops and got potatoes and bread?
That's kind of what I had to get all the time.
Why? What did you have? Chip sandwiches?
Yeah.
Right, so you went to the... you went there.
So I kept...
With your hoop and stick.
I kept putting that in a diary, you know, every night, saying, went to you phase. That was the name of the shop. Yeah.
What is it called?
U phase.
What is it, U or U?
Like H-U-G-H.
Phase. H-U-G-H, yeah. Oh, that was his name?
U phase, right. Used to go there, get the potatoes and
bread
and that.
I love the fact someone who's named a shop after themselves. I'm not going to say what we sell. It's named after me or nothing, or I'm not owning.
Mainly potatoes and bread.
Yeah.
White sliced loaves, King Edwards.
And the teacher used to always say, just write something different in there, make something up. Because,
yeah,
like, you know, Monday, Tuesday, all the way through to Friday, every night, it was just, went to you phase.
Are you sure it wasn't an advert? Sure it wasn't paying you to say, get my name in the book?
Yeah.
The only time that it changed, and she said, oh, that's made it a bit more interesting, was when it was my birthday, and I had to buy a cake.
Potatoes and a cake.
And she said, oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That was my 13th birthday. My mum said, I got home from school, she said, oh, you're 13 today. Teenager, big turnover. Go and get a cake.
That's your experience of writing?
No, what?
Well,
no, that's your experience of your 13th birthday. Oh, by the way, you're 13 today, go and get a cake.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Big surprise?
Yeah.
Was it a big surprise?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is brilliant. So I love it.
That's the only sort of writing.
Well, and they never asked you to write essays or stories?
Did you never write a story or a poem or a...
The stories I did earlier on were, you know, you made them up, but it was that thing that I'd always end them with, and an alarm went off and it was all a dream.
Every single one of them.
Yeah. But they didn't, I mean, it was a bit of a...
I bought some potatoes and some bread, but I woke up and it was all a dream.
No. Then I went to Chelmsford and bought some potatoes and bread. But did you ever do anything that write about an adventure when you were a spaceman, or you were in, you know, you were a cowboy, or... No? Yeah,
all the teachers, like, had scams going on, so, like, in English, right, you'd go in there and the teacher would say, right, what we're doing today is... Got a load of brochures from Thompson, but they say like 1983 on the front. So I've got a load of stickers here that say 1984. Let's see how many you can do in half an hour.
You are joking.
Did you go to school with Oliver Twist?
Sorry, you are joking.
I'm not, that's what they did. So the teacher must have been getting like a freebie or something for helping them out.
Honestly,
yeah, that's what it was.
That is fantastic.
They were all at it.
Other than Mr. Fagan, you had...
Yeah. And then when they saw Karate Kid, they had every kid washing their car going, wax on, wax off, hurry up. Yeah. I'm teaching you something. Wax on, wax off, paint the fence.
So I'm just saying, you know, that's why I'm a bit quiet, because you're talking about stuff I can't relate to.
And why didn't you sleep last night?
I'm just... I haven't slept well since I was about 12. Do you sleep well, Steve?
Well, wait, you can't let that go! I haven't slept well since I was 12. What do you
know,
mean?
Do you know, like, a proper... I used to love going to bed as like, a kid.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's like, oh, am I going to sleep tonight? And I sort of wake up about four times. Right. Whereas when you're a kid, I remember really loving, like, going to bed. There was one time where I actually laughed myself to sleep. Because I couldn't believe me look.
What's wrong with him? What do you mean you laughed yourself?
Have you ever had it when you're really tired and you get in bed and the pillars feel...
Yeah, it's all cold, yeah.
And it's like, I can't believe this.
Yeah.
And it happened twice. Once when I just went to bed and I was really looking forward to it. And also when I helped my dad out once, like, through the night. He worked at this paper company, right? And I helped him out and I got in at about 4 a.m. with him. Got in bed. And I just was, like, I was laughing my head off. I had to put the pillow over my head. Because I couldn't believe me look. Like, I was like, oh, this is great, this. I'm going to sleep.
I just have to say, life up north is so extraordinary.
No, but you must be the easiest kid in the world to please. No wonder she knew she could just go get a cake. It's sort of like, what was he expecting of her to say? He were expecting an extra hour in bed. But we got him cake as well.
Go to bed without any supper. Brilliant.
Brilliant, yeah. Bed. How long is it before you got your own... What did you used to do before? Just some straw in the corner?
No, it's just that thing of when you're really tired and...
And do you ever do this with Suzanne, though? Do you ever laugh yourself to sleep with her?
No, that's what I mean.
She can't sleep because you're chuckling away.
I'm just... I don't know what's up with me. I've got a lot going on.
What do you mean you've got a lot going on?
I don't know. I was talking to a security bloke before saying, do you sleep? Have you got much going on in your head and stuff? And I don't know.
No, he wasn't insulted by that, I'm sure. Going up to someone and going, have you got a lot going on in your head? That is brilliant.
It worried me. It's interesting that your lack of sleep coincides with the diaries and the writing of the bread and potato story every day. I don't know if once you had that responsibility.
Why don't you every night go to Hugh Fay's, get some bread and potatoes, you don't have to eat them, then go to bed, and I think you'll be chuckling yourself to sleep in no time. I'm stunned at Carl's rudeness, okay? That's badly drawn, boy, by the way, all possibilities. There's a lovely chap, just calls in, saying about... And Carl, because the record's ended, he doesn't say, oh, I've got to go to the record's end. He went, yeah. And he... So...
He's cut him off. Cut him off.
Well, just check if he's still there.
He doesn't want to be on radio. He said he didn't want to be on the radio, but I think he should apologise.
I'm still here, hello?
Hello. Alright.
I'm still here. I did ask not to be put live on radio, because I get very embarrassed.
Don't worry, all we wanted to do is just wanted to apologise for Carl's curtness and his rudeness.
No, all I want to say is the station is good because you couldn't have a worse slot on a Saturday afternoon, right? Because the youngsters are in the boozers, the older fellas are doing the punting, the racing, the football and whatever. The thing is, the state you play, if you want to get number one...
This is XFM, not Radio 2?
If you want to be the top, all you got to do is start playing Natalia Imbruglia, this and that, and have your audience with one puke of hair between four legs, okay?
Thank you.
There you go. Now, that's why they want to go live on radio. But you are dead. When Christian got a little bit sick about being 13, then he got to go, whatever. You're the soundest station in the area. You cover. I don't like all the stuff you play, the station plays, but you're actually doing what's there.
Thank you very much.
You keep going, persevere, and it's well worth listening to anyway, okay?
Thank you, cheers.
Otherwise, I wouldn't.
Can you hear us?
Thank you, bye.
Dead sound, mate, be careful, yeah?
I mean, I can see why you cut him off.
No, stop it.
Man
right.
Alive.
We've had so many calls. Carl was getting annoyed. There were so many calls. And we've had suggestions from Ned saying, talk about Jimmy Savile. John in North London. I've just got John in North London. What does he want to talk about? Oh, I've forgotten. Becca from Liverpool wants to talk about Tracy Emin and Damien Hirst. Art. Paul Andrews. Your mum called. Stop calling her. Tell her to listen to XFM. Yes, you, Paul Andrews, is about 38, at home with your wife and kids. Your mum just called in. I think someone wanted amazing monkey facts. I can't even do this right, can I?
To be honest with you, last week we were slagging off Carl as being the weak link in this show. I think it's clear what the weak link is.
Oh, God, who's the bloke who wants to Hayley to go with him to X-Men? See, I shouldn't make notes.
What's wrong with you? If you didn't spend so much time squeezing his head and eating pies, we might get something done.
Right, okay, then, what should we talk about then?
Right, Tracy, play a record and we'll discuss it.
Tracy Emin. Make your bed. Make your bed. Damien Hirst. Stop cutting up sharks and things. Picasso. Alright.
Right, Rockbusters, what have you got for us, Carl?
Right. There we go then, three clues, three cryptic clues, couple of initials, email in, ricky.gervais@xfm.co.uk, win some stuff. Do you want to go through the stuff?
Yeah,
you get them.
You're definitely improving yourself as weeks go on. We've got a three CD set of the Best of Inspiral Carpets. How they've strung that over three CDs, I've no idea.
Yeah, I know.
Extraordinary. A number of other CDs, all of which are okay, plus a T-shirt and a copy of Marion Jeff Series 1 on DVD. Not bad at all in an XFM bag.
Well, he's noticed X-Men 2 isn't there, because it's not out yet, but it is at the cinema, so I think Hayley should go with, what's his name?
Shut up!
Okay.
Right, go on, Carl.
Right, the clues are, clue one. They're having problems.
This is what we're getting for.
I tell you what, I think Foxy was really soft on us. I think he. Oh, go on.
This is what we're tuning for. Okay, so this go on again.
So go on.
This is brilliant. Come on. This is like Who Wants a Millionaire. Carl.
Go on, Carl. Don't worry about him. He doesn't understand radio, Carl. I heard his show before we had us, he was doing it, it sounded just like Dr. Fox.
Yeah.
Right, go on.
Clue one, they're having problems, they haven't got any rice.
Say it again, and say it like it's written down. Right, say it like it's like you're reading it as opposed to making it up as you go along. I know you are, but say it again, because all the ums and ahs, people think are integral.
They're having problems.
Do it again.
They're having problems, they haven't got any rice left.
A cryptic clue every word, that's the matter.
What's the initial?
CC.
CC, right. And the clue again?
They're having a few problems in that. Because they haven't got any rice left.
Different every time! God, right. That's number one.
Second one, the Geordie fella doesn't know what he's been charged for.
Okay, and what's the initials there?
DW. The Geordie fella doesn't know what he's being charged for.
Right.
And the final one, if he had two bricks and he had to throw them at two women, right?
Stop! Right! You've got to go do this without going... Right. Oh, yeah, just do it again. Just say it again. Think what you're going to say, then say it.
I had two bricks.
Oh, it was if I had before.
Well, I've got a couple...
Stop! Because I'm going to burst! Right, Carl, work out what you're going to say and say it! Right.
Okay, just calm down. Okay, Can we just calm down?
Okay, right.
I had two bricks to throw at two women, and I didn't hit either of them.
Right, okay.
The initials MM. Right, okay. So quickly again. They haven't got any
rice. I've got that, and it's brilliant! That is a brilliant one!
Okay.
Right. they've run out of rice, they've got problems on their hands. CC, right? The second one, Geordie fella doesn't know what he's being charged for, right? BW. Mm. And they had two bricks to throw at two women, didn't hit any of them, right? That's MM. Email in, Ricky.Gervais at XFM.co.uk.
Brilliant, play a record.
Win some stuff.
It's email me, Ricky.Gervais at XFM.co.uk.
Oh.
White Stripes, Seven Nation Army on XFM 104.9.
Carl, right? Are you thinking of starting a family?
Only if, like, an accident happens or something.
Yeah, were you there, Rick, when we were chatting about this the other day?
Oh, yeah, no.
What did you say,
Carl? Well, we were talking about his career and that, because he's on MTV and I was going, oh, you've got to do this now. He was going, look, if it happens, it happens. I've said to Suzanne, if it happens, it happens. She goes, well, what are your plans? Staying with a baby. She said, are we going to have kids or not? I go, look, if it happens, it happens. I go, well, how would it happen? He goes, if a condom splits.
Amazing. I love the idea that that's the way you plan for a child. Imagine telling them that. Where was I conceived? Can't remember. The condom split.
Yeah. You're an accident.
I love that. The romantic nature of that is just
I was told I was an accident, but, you know, it doesn't matter, does it? Yeah, it doesn't matter.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
Do many people sit down and say, right, do you think we should?
Yes.
Well, as they lay down.
Yeah.
I'm busy.
You can't plan, you can't sit down, you haven't got time for that discussion.
No, it doesn't mean the conception. I think it means bringing up a child till it's 18.
But the thing is, as well, it's one of them, isn't it? It's like, if you think about having one, you go, well, the sort of negatives, you know, outweigh the positives,
yeah.
I think, right?
Go on.
But if you have one, you go, oh, it's not that bad, is it?
So what are the positives and what are the negatives?
Like I say, the negatives outweigh it. I can't think of that many positives. They get in the way, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Cost you a lot.
Cost a lot of money. Same with marriage. Like Suzanne's saying, we'll get married, so what for?
Well, marriage doesn't cost anything.
Well, it does.
Well, no, not if you go to the registry office and then buy a house.
But then what's the point?
Well, tax breaks, you know, presents.
I don't think you get them anymore.
Do you?
I looked into that.
You old romantic. What would you rather have, a ring or a 3% saving?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, I don't see the point anyway.
I got down on one knee and presented with some inland revenue forms.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to show the benefits.
That is great. I mean, if you are planning it, I think you've got to involve me and Steve in the radio station because it'll be... I mean, you take quite a lot on, don't you?
Mm.
So if you've got a kid at home and you're not sleepy, you haven't slept since you were 12, you've got this, you've got MTV, you've got a kid, you know, it might be one step too far because I wouldn't want to push you over the edge.
Well, Nancy, go on, sorry.
No, I just was going to say, I was talking to Suzanne last night about it and saying, you know... about earning money and that, and she said, well, you're already sort of earning a little bit more than me.
Mm.
So, you know, if you get loads of money, she said, I'd be happy staying at home and doing nothing, maybe looking after a kid. I said, oh, so that's not happening.
Right.
I said, I could have a load of money now tucked away. I could have won some money and I wouldn't tell you. I still want sort of that check off her every month. Because I get a check off her to sort of pay the bills.
Yeah.
And I think you need to keep that in a relationship.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? Work as a team.
Yeah, that's not working as a team.
Of course it is.
Well, no, you share everything. Sharing everything is working as a team, whether you earn most or
less. Some 35 grand back.
It's not like you think that, oh, no, I won the pools, but I give her half, she gets lazy. She just sit around the house doing nout. So she's still got to go to work in a job she hates.
Yeah.
I told you, though, she thinks that it'd be the worst thing that could happen if we got a load of money. Because she'd want to go to Egypt, I'm not going.
Why does she want to go to Egypt?
I don't, that's what I said.
No, why would she... why does she want to go to Egypt? She wins a lot of money.
She said it's meant to be pretty good.
So the incredible wonders of the pyramids and the Sphinx and so on, that's not of any interest to you?
I've seen it, though, on the telly and that. I don't want to go all that way just to see it.
Exactly. Right. No, exactly. That's
to experience other cultures, other lifestyles, travel broadens the mind.
Wow. Well, you don't?
No, not really.
Seen enough different ones here, haven't you?
Yeah.
There's parts of Wyvern you haven't seen yet.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you don't want to make enough money. You don't want to make a lot of money because you're worried that Suzanne might want to go to Egypt.
And then that'll be
no.
And that's going to
tell
you.
I don't want to tell her that I'm making a lot of money. I can still tuck it away.
Right.
And what will you do with it?
When you turn up
in a big converted limo, goes da 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 da. Come on, we're going to a bingo. Where'd you get the car from? Never thee mind. Right. What? Won't you be suspicious? When you've got a pet chimp, you know what I mean.
What are you? I mean, yeah. What would you spend it on? Is there nothing that you want for?
No, I've never. No, there's now at the moment. Honestly, it's I'm quite happy. Do you know what I mean? I don't ask for much.
But you're not happy. You're always whinging and moaning.
Always whinging.
Clearly, there's something wrong.
Well, if someone gave you let's be serious. We're not talking about billions, right? But if someone gave you a cash injection, just a one-off cash payment of £250,000, okay, what would you do with it? I mean, that's too easy because that should obviously be a house. That should be the best house you can find in London.
I probably would have gone to see a tornado.
Right, that's on your list.
Okay, so in many ways he's so sweet, but I want to shake him.
Can I just point out to you, Carl, I don't know if you know this, but if you get caught in a tornado, you do not whisk off into the magical land of Oz.
And land somewhere nice.
Yeah, and crush a wish.
Still in your rocking chair.
Yeah, it doesn't happen, it's quite dangerous. But you go into a tornado, number one, fair enough. Number two?
What brochure is that in? That one?
It's Texas, isn't it?
Okay.
Oh.
Number two?
Texas.
So he's got tornado number one.
What brochure is that in?
Number
it's
two.
Texas, isn't it? It's Kansas, I think, mainly.
Well, can I just? I noticed someone's emailed here a link for. Can you believe you luck, Carl? Monkeys for sale. Now I don't endorse this in any way, but here you are. Here's a monkey for sale here.
Oh, that's terrible.
$2,500. It says male, very smart little guy, loves to play and gives kisses, wears diapers and clothes, has been around lots of people and loves them, healthy and loves to eat.
Sounds like
Ricky.
How much is that?
Well, it wasn't Carl, because it says loves to be around people.
Yeah. There's a gibbon there, a gibbon for...
It's pricey though, it's like that Donald McIntyre programme he did, that Cheapest Chimps programme.
He didn't do Cheapest Chimps, he didn't do a programme called Cheapest Chimps.
You're saying that, but...
Well, he didn't. Mm. There's at no point did Donald McIntyre do a programme called... Play a record a minute, play a record. Oh. Cracking tune.
Now, if you're down in Texas, chasing your tornado, this would be on your stereo, surely.
Surely, if you're in Alabama, it'd be in...
But he doesn't even go to Alabama, it's Texas, that's where the tornadoes are. Do you not listen to what he says?
It's Kansas. It's Kansas.
Lynyrd Skynyrd, of course, Sweet Home Alabama. Always worth a play, I think maybe once a month.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Carl, we're talking about having kids and stuff. I've always been quite thankful that Ricky's never wanted to have kids, because, I just think he would set the worst example for a child that he possibly could do. Just in conversation the other day, just happened to mention that he's taken to eating in the bath.
Yeah, well, let me explain something. Right, I've got busy schedules, yeah? I get up, I meet Steve at a certain time, then I go, oh, I've got to go at 3:30 today, Steve, I'm working out. I work out 4 till 5. I have to have something to eat before I go out, and I have to meet Johnny for a beer at 6 or something, or go somewhere. So I thought, oh God, if I go around and have a bath straight after, then I have something to eat. I go, well, I've got sometimes there's chicken legs, right, and they're greasy. So one day I thought, hold on, I'll go to the bath with the chicken legs, I'll eat them in the bath, and it's brilliant. So I'm sitting in the bath, I eat the chicken egg, it's really greasy, right? I just throw it in the bin, go under the water, come up, I'm clean. I've eaten, I'm clean, I get dressed, I go out and meet Johnny. I've lined my stomach, and the good thing about that is that when I come home, after beers, and I've eaten the chicken, I go, oh, there's only bread left, I just wipe it round the bath, I got a lovely bread and dripping sandwich. That's not true, that bit. But I do eat in the bath. I mean, the second week of doing it, I was just eating in the bath, I think I was in chicken legs again, I'm eating in the bath. Jane walked past, just looked in at me, and she went, Christ, Caligula.
Well,
just me, a fat Roman emperor eating.
Caligula, to be honest, is just too cool and impressive. Not Caligula, old man Steptoe. Have you seen the one where he's in the bath eating pickled onions?
No.
He literally sat in the bath, eating some pickled onions. Some of them slip under the water, he fishes them out, put them back in the jar.
I'd never do that.
No, you'd eat them. You would never let. You wouldn't let food go by like that.
But it's so.
But it's the fat. It's chicken. It's big, greasy slabs of chicken.
Yeah.
You're throwing the bones on the floor.
No, I'm putting them
for the wolves to scavenge.
I'm putting them in the bin. Stop biting your nails, Carl. Not only can you hear it, it's really rude.
I don't know. What? Yeah, you're criticising him?
Yeah.
Criticising him for biting his nails?
Yeah, you don't know where they've been.
You eat chicken in the bath and then go under the water and come up clean whilst sat in some water swimming with grease and fat and chicken bones.
Yeah, right. Shut
and breadcrumbs.
Well, I like to bath. I like to bath like two or three times a day.
But do you not see why that's not cool and impressive? It's not like we're all going to go, why haven't we all thought of that?
To be honest, though, Steve, that is the only time I eat oranges.
I know what you mean. Yeah, yeah, I've always thought that, an orange, I go, oh god, this is too annoying, and I don't bother eating oranges, unless they're tangerines, you can peel them in one and put them in one. I don't have big Jaffas, it's not worth it.
What is wrong with you? Firstly, have you ever thought about cutting an orange into four quarters with a knife?
Waste.
What do you mean a waste?
More washing up.
Yeah, right, so this is what you got. This is why you can't sleep at night. Because you think, I've got to run a bath and have an orange. I haven't got time. I've got an orange now, I need the vitamin C, but I've got to run a bath for it. At least have a shower. I'm going to be in there with another man.
Oh, dear.
The two of you are just, you are like children. You're infants. Your mentality is ludicrous. And you're embarrassing us in front of our special guests.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe it. Now, of course, last week... We've had a number of letters, Rick. I'm just reading them now. Last week, loved your interview with Chris Martin from Coldplay.
Yeah.
Genius. Another one here. Great insight into the man who wrote Yellow and Clocks.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Steve Merchant's interview with Chris Martin was amazing. He should have his own TV show.
Yeah.
Just some of the letters we've received, Rick.
Yeah.
So this week, we're very lucky to have with us Russian pop act Tattoo. Round of applause for them. Lovely to have them here. Tattoo, now then, of course, there's been much controversy that your kind of lesbian shtick is just something to try and whip up some press attention.
We are proper lesbians. We love Fanny more than cock.
Okay, brilliant. And Tattoo, lovely to have you. Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Now then, you've got some live gigs, I understand, planned.
Yeah. Duh.
Okay. I can't help but notice that you sound, dare I say it, Tattoo, you don't sound so much Russian as German.
No, we cannot do the accent properly.
Okay. And Tattoo, it's a joy to have you. Thanks for coming, though.
Yeah.
Your lesbians, would, for instance, either myself or Carl be able to convert you from your lesbian ways?
We like the muff so much that the knob is no good for us.
All right, well, thanks very much, Tattoo.
Yeah, thanks, Tattoo. Thanks very much. Cheers.
Yeah.
Next week, share.
Brilliant. So if you've got any guests, special guests you love us to interview, then let us know. Ricky.Gervais@xfm.co.uk. And we'll try and get there.
Oh, dear. Play with Carl.
Rockbusters answers next.
I was going to say, do you want to do that?
No, let's do it next. After the record.
I was going to say something.
What were you going to say?
About gays and that.
What? What were you going to say?
Oh, we'll look forward to that.
Martina Topley Bird. Need one on XFM 104.9. Right, there goes the girls from Tattoo. See you like that. Well
thanks,
done.
Thanks, girls.
Cheers.
Lovely
right,
couple of listeners.
Carl, what were you saying before we cut you off?
It's just that, you had the girls in and that, and it reminded me, I was talking to Steve in a week.
Yeah.
I think it's, when people were talking about going out of string fellas and that,
yeah.
I was talking about seeing naked people.
Ah, no, yes, I asked him, I said, when he used to watch, say, if he accidentally flipped onto BBC Two and some ballet was on, would his eye ever been drawn to maybe the gentleman's lower regions rather than the ladies?
The gentleman's package?
Yeah, would your eyes ever be accidentally drawn to that and you couldn't resist it? And you said yes.
Yeah, because, right, I don't think I'm,
Oh, dear.
Well, go on, I mean, fair enough.
No, right.
I'm always looking at the beautiful ladies, but fair enough.
Yeah.
No, go on.
But... Right.
Have you ever looked at Wayne Sleep's testicles?
I went out.
Have you ever looked at Wayne Sleep's penis and testicles?
I went out on a night out, right? And it was it got to some point in the night where two women and two fellas got on the stage.
Right.
Right. Started stripping off.
Yes.
Yeah. Just what, members of the audience?
No, I think they were like part of the act, right?
Right.
And
what was it, Panto?
They downed, you know, the fellas were, had like their undies on, and the girls just had their knickers on.
Yes.
Right? And,
sounds pretty erotic at the moment. Go on.
And at the same time, they all whipped the pants off.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. It was Spucks Fizz, wasn't it? The the adult show.
Now, I said to Steve, at that point...
Sorry, I wasn't there. He said it to me later.
I
said, well, you have a quick glance at the fellas. And then the annoying thing was, you sort of, I thought, right, now I'll have a look at the women, and it was too late, they put the knickers on.
How long were you looking at the fellas?
Not that long, but...
But why were you looking at them first?
That's human nature, isn't it?
Why?
I don't know, but I'm sure you would have done the same thing. You just sort of think, well, how are they shaping up?
So it's
a comparative test.
So who had the biggest knob? Which one of the blokes had the biggest knob?
No, it's like, you know, normal. But,
This is a whole new side of you.
This is a whole other area.
So you look at ballet dancers, you look at the gentlemen's.
No, I don't. I just was, when he said this, it reminded me of this night when I was walking home thinking, oh.
Oh.
didn't get a look. Because I was
messing around. Where was this? What event was this where people are stripping off?
Carl, I'll tell you what. You are the most interesting man I have ever met.
But are you comfortable being nude and that?
We've done this. Well, I don't know what this is. We did this last week about, are you comfortable being nude?
No, I know, I was talking
you're
about
you're probably
that.
Most comfortable being nude. It's just probably not in public.
Mm. Well, Ricky's only really comfortable nude when he's eating.
yeah. There's nothing to get, you know...
Yeah, you can just wipe yourself down.
Yeah, you just sit in the bath, yeah.
No, but I've talked about that, and then when I went home, I was talking to Suzanne about it, and she said, what's all that about? You don't like being nude, right? And I said, well, it's not...
It's like I'm part of an Alan Bennett play. It's just... I love the way you talk.
Remember once, right, I don't know if I should talk about this, really, but...
Well, that means you should, so go on.
Go on.
Oh, yeah. Right, we went to Tenerife, right, one year. Okay. And I was still living in Manchester.
I'm scared now. Yeah, I don't said that. I'm actually scared.
No, I'm thinking about Suzanne, but she's
well,
working.
Well, I don't want to know anything about Suzanne,
come
to be
on.
Honest.
No, but
it involves me more.
Go on, go on.
I'm just explaining to you that I don't like being nude.
Yes. Go on. So you're in Tenerife?
In Tenerife, right. Didn't have much money. Stayed in this apartment that wasn't that nice, right. Had the cockroaches in it and stuff, right. Yeah. Didn't have much money to go out at night. So we're in this sort of death trap of an apartment, right?
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so when I was younger, right, had a bit more energy. So
he's 30. I know.
So, you know, start having it away a bit.
It's a joy.
Beautiful. So,
go
yeah.
on, yeah. I've been here to work. I love it. Go on.
Right, so, you know, doing what I do. Right?
Yeah.
Someone starts banging on the door. So
everyone's done it. Right, so you mean knocking on the door? Right, okay.
Yeah. Knocking on the door, right? So Suzanne said, you better get it. So I said, oh, I can't get it now, can I? I'll have to wait a bit. Right. I can't go to the door.
Go on.
So the banging's getting louder.
Yeah.
Someone at the door.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, no, but it must be important. I'm like, in a minute. Just... So anyway.
In a minute. I don't want to know anymore.
Come on, finish the story.
Open the door. It's a fireman. So I just stick my head round, and he's going, you'll have to get out. The building's on fire. Right? So I'm like, in a minute.
Sorry, you weren't still having sex at this point?
No, but, you know, right. Still sort of got to wait a minute, or I can't get my pants on.
Oh, Carl, I wish I'd... I'm so sorry.
Right, go on. The place is burning down.
So, it could be a serious big fire going on.
Yeah.
I'm sort of waiting. You can hear people sort of screaming and that, panicking.
Yeah. Is that because the door's open and you're nude?
The fireman's saying, will you get out? I'm saying, in a minute.
Right.
And Suzanne was saying, you know, think of something that's not sexy.
Sure.
So I was thinking of people, you know, thinking maybe dying in a fire might sort of calm you down.
Yeah.
Then the fireman said, we need a big pole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure, go on.
But what I'm saying is, that, to me, I wouldn't have wanted to go out and be safe over, do you know what I mean, over being naked. I don't like walking about without on. So what I'm saying is, you have that fire.
I love the idea of everyone huddled in there, the other firemen, and just the cameras fans along, and there's Carl.
Yeah, a local news report.
Naked. With still
but
standing proud.
Would you have gone out? We're now on.
But why do I have to go out with now on? I just grab a pair of jeans.
Alright, but you just, you know.
What?
There's a fire, Carl!
Yeah, well,
see, no, not everyone looks at men's packets. That's only you, remember. Most of the other firemen wouldn't be going, oh, look at him.
But
he's
what I'm interested in is how long...
to see us.
Carl, how long did it take? And did the thought of dying in a fire help?
After a bit, but the fireman sort of had a go at me.
Sure.
What do you mean?
Well, like, he wasn't happy that I was dawdling.
Well, to be fair...
But what can you do?
Answers on a postcard. To the usual address... XFM, care of Leicester Square.
Well, let's just get these right.
No, let's play record, let's have Rockbusters and Monkey News.
We don't have time for Monkey News.
We'll squeeze them in.
Wow.
It's a god-awful small affair.
Life on Mars by David Bowie on XFM. Right, come on, we're running out of time. Blockbusters, the results in... Sorry, oh, what a giveaway. Oh no, embarrassing. I've given it away.
Yeah.
Straight into Monkey News. Go on
then. So, yeah, Rockbusters, what were the clues?
The clues were, the first one was, they're running out of rice, so they've got problems. That was CC. That was China crisis. Right?
Okay, yeah, if they ran out of rice in China, it would be a crisis, fair enough.
Second one, the Geordie fella doesn't know what he's being charged for, right? That was Bill Wyman.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
And the third one, I had two bricks to throw at two women, and I didn't hit either of them, that was Mister.
I let him up, those were alright, though.
That's extraordinary. The winner... Gina. I think Gina Ferry. Well done, Gina. And, the reason I gave it to Gina is because she's included, and this is a wonderful segue, some monkey fact, information of her own. She says, apparently, that the group Chumbawamba got their name from one of those monkeys in a room with a typewriter experiments. Someone did it as a joke, and Chumbawamba was a word that was typed out, and that's the group, that's where the group got their name.
And
apparently.
Their lyrics.
Absolutely, yeah.
Which is good.
So let's have official monkey news, play the jingle.
Oh, chimpanzee that, monkey news.
Right, we've got to be quick.
Well,
this is something that was sent in to me ages ago, and I don't know why I haven't done it yet, because it's brilliant. We were talking about monkeys typing, the Shakespeare theory and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is about a little monkey called Marty, right? Basically, it's in some science lab, right? It's in there. It was wandering about out of its cage, right? The lab fella... was busy on the phone or something.
Yeah.
Right, and,
oh, typical.
It's wandering about, it goes up to a PC, that's in the corner, a little computer, types down, my name is Marty. Right?
Yeah.
So, the fella got off the phone, saw this on the screen with the monkey sat there, says to his mate, have you done this?
Right, hold on, Carl.
Let him finish. Oh. Before you question, always let him finish.
I don't know what to do.
Time's against us, come on.
He said, have you done this? He says, done what? He said, this on the screen here, saying, my name's Marty. Right? He goes, what are you talking about? I was having an argument with his mate, saying, you're lying, you did it. Monkey's sat there, typing, this isn't a practical joke, my name is Marty.
Right, and that's the end of the story?
I'm not coming in next week.
I think
we need a week off. I actually think we need a week off.
It's doing a web chat or something. You can go online and have a chat with it.
The monkey's doing a web chat?
I don't know.
Have you got a website yet? His favourite Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
I've looked at that.
Right. Do you believe that, Carl?
It's all there.
No, but do you believe it? Do you believe that monkey could type that and then say this is not a practical joke when he's all arguing?
Weird, isn't it?
Oh.
What do you reckon, Steve?
Yeah, well, it's obviously a wind-up.
It's a joke. It's not even... You haven't even got some of the facts wrong. It's just a wind-up.
Have you noticed the date?
Is it April the 1st?
It is April the 1st.
You are joking.
That it was sent.
You're an idiot, Carl.
It was sent on April the 1st, Carl.
So you're saying the monkey knows it's April the 1st, but you
don't
believe...
doing a wind-up, yes. Yeah, I think the monkey has thought, I'll do it on April the 1st so that people think that it's a wind-up, but in actual fact, I am a monkey that can type and read. It's a shame you never went into investigative journalism. You could have brought down, you know, the Watergate scandal.
Poor Carl. Well, I was thinking of a song that sums us three up, yeah? What are we? What do you think, how would you sum us up?
Tricky.
Well, young, gifted and black.
True enough.
Apart from a couple of them.
Yeah, well, we're not gifted.
No.
And we're not very young.
No, I'm certainly not.
Should we take a week off?
Yeah.
Should we maybe just knock it on the head altogether?
We'll take a week off and see what happens.
Okay. See you next... No, not... Let's not see you next week.
See you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Cheers then, Carl.